and welcome to What on Earth is God Doing? We're glad you tuned in today. It's a beautiful day here in the Shoals, a little warm, and we're just so glad that you in Tennessee and Mississippi and Alabama and anywhere else you may be from that you've tuned in today. Maybe you're just passing through the Shoals and turned your dial to 106.3. Well, if you did, you're in for some good stuff the next 30 minutes because I have a very special friend, Ron Etheridge, who is with us today, and we're going to be talking about Redemption Ministries. And it's going to be good, and there may very well be some connections that God will make even during this next 30 minutes. Before I bring Ron on, let me just remind you of two or three things. First of all, an update on Jerry Edgell. He's doing good. He's still in the hospital, but he's stable. He's off life support. And someone said they actually saw a picture of him on Facebook sitting on the side of the bed and walking down the hall. So that is good news, but continue to pray for Jerry. And we just thank God that Jerry is up and moving and through the worst of it. So continue to pray. Let me remind you of God's Day of Prayer. This is a special regional event that's taking place this Saturday, September the 14th, beginning at 8 p.m. on Saturday evening at the Church of the Shoals over in Florence, and it's co-sponsored by Church of the Shoals and the North Alabama Friends of Israel. And, of course, you could find out more information about that by calling either of those two groups. But a day of prayer for the Shoals and for the region and for Israel and for the world. And Lord knows we need that day of prayer. And then the global day of prayer for the peace of Jerusalem is Sunday, October the 6th. And we're told that maybe as many as 100 million people across the world will be joining together that day to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And you know the Lord gave us very specific instructions about that. So we'll share local information with you about that or where the local gathering will be. I think it's going to be at the Lauderdale County Courthouse on that Sunday afternoon. But we'll get that information to you for sure. Just write it down on your calendar, Sunday, October the 6th. And then Eddie, the play's named Eddie, is going to be next Sunday afternoon, September the 22nd. At 2 p.m. at UNA, and not going to tell you a lot more about it because my program next Tuesday will be about Eddie with Dr. Tom Osborne from UNA, but that's something you're going to be interested in, and I'll tell you next week who Eddie is, but it's something that I think will be a very, very good experience, and Tom Osborne will be my guest next week. Well, I've got a special guest and a special friend, and in most of the cases, we just invite our friends, but my wife, Ann, is not with us today. She had to go on a mission of mercy, so it's going to be my dear friend, Ron Etheridge, and me talking about Redemption Ministries. Ron, glad to have you on board today.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to come.
Well, you're one of my favorite fellows, and I'm so thankful that we have connected over the last few years. Ron was former pastor at Woodward Avenue Baptist Church in Muscle Shoals, but I'm most thankful that he stayed in the region. Now, he did leave for a few months,
right?
But he came back, but his wife stayed here and held the fort, and now they're both back in the Shoals with a new ministry that Ron has founded and is based here in the Shoals, but certainly reaches out, I guess, across the nation for Redemption Ministries. But Ron, I'd like to begin by just having you just tell us a little bit about your family that will help our listeners to know you a little bit better as we launch into this 30 minutes.
Okay. I've been married to the former Pam Britton, for 27, almost 28 years. Wow. We have three children, Amy, Trey, and Britton. And here in just a couple of weeks, my third child will have been married in 18 months. So I've done three weddings now, and we just have a wonderful, my two boys are up in Louisville, Kentucky. Both have heard God's call to ministry.
Well, good.
My daughter married a young man here from the Shoals, and they've been married now going on almost 2 years.
Well, you know, during those weddings for your kids and grandkids, they're a lot of fun. There's not a lot of money in it, but there is a lot of fun.
Right.
And, but it's just a joy. I've had the privilege of performing the wedding for all of my children, my four daughters, and also our grandchildren who are married, and hopefully even get to the great-grandchildren.
Wow.
Before we pass on. But Ron, let's talk a little bit about Redemption Ministries. Now, some of our listeners obviously will have a clue about redemption,
right,
but they won't be sure how you're applying it and to whom. So what is Redemption Ministries?
Okay, Redemption Ministry is a desire that I have to encourage, help, and support ministers of the gospel of whatever denomination who are struggling, who are wounded, who are having difficulty. And that pretty much comes from my own ministry experience over the course of 24 years, where I guess the best way to describe it would be to say I've had some interesting ministry experiences. And so I want to come alongside them, much like Onesiphorus did for Paul in 2 Timothy 1, and to search them out and to encourage them in their difficult days.
Well, you know, you and I have a similar heartbeat in that.
That's right.
Having been in ministry a long, long time, the Lord, about 10 years ago now, said, I want you to spend your time encouraging and helping ministers in need. And I wrote down the Message Bible translation of a passage that I noticed you've got on your website, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, and if you'll allow me, I'll read it. God of all healing counsel, he comes alongside of us when we go through hard times, and before we know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us.
Amen.
Ron, you've been there and done that.
Oh, yes, sir. More times than I can imagine. In fact, the first three churches I pastored fired the minister prior to me. And as a result of that, I decided that if God would give me the strength, I would not be a part of a church split. And so before I would allow that to happen, I would walk away. Well, I thought that was just going to be a philosophical decision. But lo and behold, God said, no, it's not philosophical. You're going to have to live it. And in fact, one church I was interim at, forced out three ministers before I went there. Another church fired the guy after me. So, you know, I've been around that so much, and I came to the conclusion that there's no way that was coincidence, that God was putting me in those situations to learn from him how to be comforted and then to take that comfort to others.
Well, now, as you talk about that, what we would call forced termination from one end to the other, is that the focal point of your ministry or just one of the areas that you seek to respond to?
Well, I would love to first be able to prevent that forced termination.
Yes.
I would like to connect with men in ministry that are struggling about what to do, how to go about it, what's the next step, how can there be reconciliation, restoration. That would be my first desire. If it gets to the place where they have been forcibly terminated or they've resigned, quote unquote, to come alongside them and to encourage them to say there is hope.
Well, you know, I've had that happen to me enough that I even came to a point where I didn't fully trust anybody that hadn't been fired at least one time.
Right.
And
right.
Because I think we've all had that experience or a near forced termination experience. And I remember one of my family members saying, might have been one of my daughters one time, saying, Dad, why are we always the one that has to leave?
Yeah.
And so I know that trauma, and you know that trauma.
Right.
And do our people in the pew know the trauma that's involved
no.
in that kind of situation?
No. They. I really don't think they understand. Because for the pastor, who is an under-shepherd, he loves the sheep and is willing to do whatever he can to support them. And there's no deeper hurt than when the people that you love, that you're pouring out your life for, turn on you.
Yes.
And I think there are some that, to a great degree, Jim, aren't even unaware of some of the things that happen in the background as to why pastors and ministers resign.
Oh, absolutely. I think in most cases, it's held from the membership.
Right.
They don't get it until the announcement is made or the final Sunday comes. And I told you that I had just seen a DVD entitled Clergy Killer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very well produced by a national organization. And it focuses on that one or more person that seems to be found in every congregation that feels their calling is to make it miserable for the minister or pastor.
Well, and you see, Jesus warned ministers about that because he said that there will be wolves among the sheep and there will be tares amongst the wheat. Now, not everybody that causes difficulty or problem is not saved.
Yeah.
But there are many that are affected to the degree that they don't honor God in how to deal with difficult situations. And that's another thing, Jim. I'm not sure our churches know how to handle those difficult situations, because rather than getting rid of a minister, it's better to be restored. It's better to be reclaimed. It's better for there to be forgiveness. Because if we in the church cannot forgive and restore and heal, then we have lost the message of the cross to the community.
Yeah. What have we got to offer?
Exactly.
And we found that the case at Grace House as we worked through a very difficult time in our minister's life. And as we saw healing and restoration come to him and to us, and we said, man, if we can't walk in this, then why are we announcing Grace House to the community?
Right.
And right. I think that's where the church finds itself.
Yeah.
And, well, Ron, where do you fit in now? Let's say we got Podunk Baptist Church over there somewhere in Limestone County, and they're having a problem, and they're at each other's throats, How do you fit into the equation?
Well, the first thing that I have been doing so far is making connections with the pastor.
Yes.
Because my opinion is the pastor is the key person here. And he has got to be the one that leads and models redemption, restoration, forgiveness, and all those kind of things. If he's not the one on board first to at least present what should be done, it's never going to happen in the church. So I try to come alongside the pastor, encourage him,
yes,
cry with him,
walk with him through the process.
Exactly, exactly. And then at the appropriate time, say, okay, here are some things I've done. Here's some suggestions. I think you've got one of the things from the website about when there are staff problems, what to do.
Yes.
How to walk through that. And so that's the process that I begin with.
Well, and you know, if the pastor leaves mad or wounded, and the congregation is bitter and divisive, who comes to that congregation and where that pastor goes? It's a lose-lose situation.
Exactly.
You don't solve many problems by going to another pastor that looks greener.
Right.
And I don't mean P-A-S-T-O-R, but I mean P-A-S-T-U-R-E.
Well, it's like somebody...
They need to work through it.
It's like somebody said, the grass that looks green to you was the brown to the guy that just left it.
That's right.
You know. But one of the things that I think about is I tell pastors that if you do not model how to conduct yourself in a manner that is worthy of the gospel, then the people will never learn it. And
yes,
that's Philippians 1:27.
Yes. Well, and Ron, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but my experience has been that most of the cases, just as in marital conflict or just strained relationships, there's some problem on both sides
right.
of the issue. And each person has to face, what did I bring to
right.
this problem?
Exactly.
And do you agree with that?
Oh, gosh. In fact, the last church where I pastored, it was obvious it came to a place where the staff was having problems. And we all got together, and I said, guys, we have got to repent and confess of our own contribution to where we are.
Yes.
It's got to start with us, and it's That's got right. to start with me. Because if it doesn't start there, it'll never make it into the congregation. Because if a church is going to learn about what repentance looks like, they've got to see it. Just preaching it is not enough. And I would suggest that the reason sometimes that God brings this into a church, into a minister's life, is so that they can model the gospel yes. and that it will be seen as something that God really does honor.
Absolutely. And I don't know any better training school than a marriage and the church
oh, exactly.
for walking out those reconciling principles.
Right.
And, well, now I want you to just respond to what somebody may be saying. Well, he deserved it. He needed to go.
Okay. First of all, let me say this. There are some times when a pastor probably deserves to leave. If there's marital infidelity, yeah, you know, he needs to leave. If there is a law that has been broken, maybe he's stolen money from the church, yes, that needs to be terminated in a graceful manner.
Yes.
Because if the church will treat even the failure with grace,
yes,
that is a huge statement. And the model there is Peter and Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Because Peter failed big time.
Big time. No doubt about it.
And look what Jesus did. He took him as the failure and restored him and put him as the number one guy for the early church. Restoration. That's redemption. That's redemption.
Ron, you and I both probably could do this, but I could name churches right here in North Alabama in the Tennessee Valley that have stuffed those problems and pushed them aside and done the unchristian thing rather than the Christian thing, and maybe that wasn't their intent. And both the church and the wounded pastor suffered consequences from that even long after he died.
Oh, I'll give you a perfect illustration. One of the churches that I served in the space of from 1953 to 1994 fired 5 of 7 pastors.
Wow.
Now, that does not include staff members that they also terminated. And while I was pastor there for 11 years, there were so many people that I would run into and inviting them to Christ in the church. They would say, oh, but I know about that church. I know what they did to Pastor so-and-so. Or I
yes.
know. And it just, it wounds the what is it in Romans 2? It says the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you.
Yes, yes.
And that's what a lot of churches are doing.
Well, now, how do you respond to the person who may be saying, wait a minute, our pastor doesn't have any problems? What are you talking about, pastors having problems? Do pastors have problems
Trust me, everybody
else?
There is not a pastor out there that doesn't struggle silently.
But, Ron, who pastors that pastor?
Well, I have been fortunate and blessed that I have 4 friends who are also pastors, and we pastor each other.
Yes.
A pastor usually cannot and does not want to have a close friend in the church because they've been burned before.
And most don't. What are the statistics? 95% of all pastors do not feel they have a close personal friend
right.
in the church in whom they can confide. But
right.
you know, Ron, they got to find somebody.
Yes. If there's one thing I would say to a pastor is you've got to have a pastor. And that's what I'm wanting, and I know that's what you're doing.
Yes.
And that's what I want to do is to find these guys. And in fact, I'll tell you, recently 2 other guys I'm working with right now, talking with them, walking with them through their difficult times, I asked them, I said, who do you talk to? Who's your friend? And you know what both of them said? You're it.
Yeah.
And I said, you're kidding me. I said, I've only known you for X number of weeks or months. They said, but you don't understand. You're the only one who understands that I can trust.
Well, you know, that just prompts something that we didn't share at the beginning, but you and I have been a part of a small group of
right.
pastors that's been meeting for 4 or 5 years. You've
right.
been there for over a year, maybe a couple of years. And I remember you saying one morning, do you guys recognize how fortunate we are
right.
to have this circle of trust?
Right.
And every minister and every pastor needs somebody.
Yeah.
And needs that kind of circle of trust.
If they don't, you know, pastors are notorious for being loners.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes.
And it's the loner pastor who is probably has the most difficulty.
Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. Look for isolation.
Yeah.
Because you'll usually find it.
Right.
And that is so true. Now, let's switch gears just a little bit. What does a member of the congregation, and we're not talking about any particular denomination or non-denomination, but what if you've got a member or a couple sitting out there that just senses there's something not right? The pastor seems troubled. There seems to be something going on. How would they approach that in a respectful, dignified way, but at least to let that pastor know that they really care and really want to know how they can pray for him?
First thing, obviously, they need to be praying for wisdom, discernment, and grace from God, for the Holy Spirit's leadership. Then I would recommend that that they go to the pastor and ask, understanding that if they don't have a good relationship with their minister already, he's probably not going to open up.
Yes.
But if there's that general sense of disquietness, find a leader in the church they trust that is a godly individual and ask them and begin praying. Those are just the basic things, because I've seen too many people want to do a bull in a china shop thing.
Yeah.
And it just destroys the whole fellowship.
That's right. And folks, please know that although we both are in ministry and have been for many years, we're not talking about flattery. We're not talking about exalting the pastor to the place that only Jesus should occupy. But we're talking about ministering to men and women who give their lives to God to shepherd the flock that you're a part of. And Ron, we're losing, 1,500 of them every month.
Every month.
Every month. Now, let's talk about the pastor's wife.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
And unfortunately, neither of our wives are here, or they could do that for us. But does it affect the wife as much as it affects the husband?
Probably more. And the reason is because she can't see or do anything. She's expected to be quiet, smile, be sweet. And yet she sees at home her husband who is weeping and broken. And it rips her heart out. I would say it's more difficult for and ministers' wives probably have fewer friends than ministers do.
Yes, yes.
You know, because they've learned that if they say the wrong thing at the wrong time, it comes back on the husband.
Well, and then my theory, which really isn't a theory, I think it's fact, is that a woman ponders these things.
Yeah, right.
The man tends to get out and kind of work through it and have appointments during the day, and yet the wife is a ponderer.
Yeah.
And you can't imagine how many wounded spouses I've run into across these 5 and 6 years.
Oh yeah.
And the pastor would say, well, how's your wife doing through this? And if he were honest, he'd tell me. And they're suffering from all kinds of diseases, many of them connected to the wounding that they've experienced as a family in ministry.
Well, one time my wife even told me, if this is what ministry's like, I don't want it.
Yes.
And I had to make some changes.
Yes.
Things had to be done different.
Well, I that just recalls a pastor and his wife that I've never met, that I talked to, that lived up in Illinois. And he literally told the story of her just packing up suitcases and walking out one day. And she said, I don't want any more of this ministry.
Yeah.
And
you know why I think that is? The one place where there should be love, acceptance, forgiveness, and mercy is where the deepest hurt is coming from, and that's the church.
That's right.
And that's what hurts so bad.
It is. Well, I want to pause now, although we've got about 6 minutes left, and let you tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Sure.
We may have pastors listening. We may have spouses listening. We may have members of a congregation that are listening, that are concerned about what's going on in their church. How do they get in touch with you? Is there any fee for your service? Do you keep everything confidential?
Yes.
Just respond to those
questions. Okay, first of all, everything is confidential, period. As far as a fee for my services, no fee at all. God's going to provide and take care of that. As far as contact information, I have a website. It's called Redemption Ministry, and the address is www.redemptionministry.org. And on the website, I have a blog that I write 5 days a week. And I also have a section for ministers, and there they can go, and they have resources they can look at that will be of encouragement and help. And also a section for churches, for them to say, okay, here's our problems, what do we do?
Yes.
My cell phone's 256-483-2935. I keep it on my hip 24 hours a day. And my goal is to help ministers and churches wherever they are.
And Ron, we have some cases so severe, and I'm sure some of them are within our listening audience, that we got to stop the bleeding.
Oh yeah.
We've got to get to those folks, and they've got to get to you.
Yeah.
And you're a listening ear. You may be a source of referral to mm-hmm. refer them to someone. In my case and yours, when it's needed, we will get with them and sit down.
Right.
But we will be their friend.
Whatever it takes to help them.
And we will walk with them. Well, that phone number is 256-483-2935, and it's www.redemptionministry.org. Ron, you made mention in one of your blogs about power struggles. Where does power struggles fit into all this?
Oh, my goodness. A power struggle is a lot of times people who have been in a church for decades and pretty much see themselves as the patriarch and matriarch of all that happens.
Yep.
And they forget that it's not their church. It's the bride of Christ.
Absolutely.
And it's his bride that they need to be careful of. Power struggles, that's probably 90% of what I see.
Absolutely. It is, Ron, and I bear witness to that. Well, someone certainly wants to know, knowing that you grew up and ordained in the Southern Baptist Church, is this a ministry limited only to Southern Baptist pastors and churches? Or
I don't care what. Of course, I'm Christian-based. So, but outside of that, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopal, it doesn't matter. Hurt is hurt, and I want to be there to encourage ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, brother, this has been an exciting 30 minutes because you and I,
our
hearts are beating together, and we're both coming at this same need, and by the grace of God, we're not only get them patched up, we're going to get them healthy again.
God willing.
Would you pray for them
sure.
in these last few minutes, just however the Lord leads you to pray?
Father God, I thank you, first of all, that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross and was resurrected that we may have eternal life. And for those churches and ministers out there that are struggling and hurting right now, God, by your Holy Spirit and comforting power, envelop them with your love and mercy. And make connections so that they can find the help that they need.
Yes.
And Father, may you be glorified. And may you be honored in everything that we say and do. Bless Jim and his ministry. Bless us that we may be a blessing to others. We love you because you first loved us. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Ron Etheridge. And thank God for Redemption Ministry. That phone number again is 256-483-2935. And if you've got a need or you feel your pastor has a need or a congregation with a need in the areas that we've been discussing, then call us. Call us. We're there to help you. And we want to be available to you. And call Ron because he's there and he's a good man. I can vouch for him most certainly. And I want to thank you for listening. I know you've always got a choice where you're going to tune. And we're glad you tuned to WBTG today and to 106.3. Remember, next week our guest is going to be Dr. Tom Osborne, who is Professor of History Emeritus from the University of North Alabama. And thank you for listening, and God bless you, and have a good day.
Thanks for listening to
I'd do that again.
Hey,
that was fun.
All right, if you have questions, comments, or
it's even better when Ann Beavis is here.